Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
BT, it's out back on the fan. Let's get back to the Alonzo Coles here, BT. 888-808-1019. We started the show talking about Pete Alonzo and the latest report from Jim Duquette that Alonzo's camp has gone to the Mets and offered them a three-year deal with opt-outs. We do not know the financial parameters of said deal, but hopefully things can start to now pick up a little bit. Andy Martino said nothing is close right now, but these things can happen quickly. Bottom line is with pitchers and catchers, you know, getting set to report in about a month, whatever it is, a few weeks away here in February, and the Mets clearly needing a power bat in addition to Juan Soto in that lineup. Pete Alonzo needing a home at some point. You would think that a deal is going to get done, but who knows here what eventually happens between the Mets and Alonzo, if anything. But we do know that the market is such that it's a short-term deal right now that is quote-unquote exclusive to the New York Mets. Andrea is calling from Flanders. What's up, Andrea?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Hey. I think that Pete is not declining. I think that we need to see Pete back in a Mets uniform. You got to get better protection behind him. When Daniel Vogelbach is your DH and a washed-up J.D. Martinez is your DH, he's got no protection. I'd love to see him with Juan, and I think he needs to be in the Met uniform. By the way, my very hot husband owns no turtlenecks, and he would never wear a hoodie underneath a jacket, maybe a quarter zip.
Yeah, there you go, okay, Adrian. Thank you for the call.
What you're saying is that you married a vanilla man, is what you're saying here. Understood.
What you're saying is your very hot husband has
boring.
No style, Andrea. No, to each their own. Whatever you want, sir. I don't care. Yeah, wear whatever you want. Hey, if it were up to me, I'd wear sweats and a hoodie every day.
I know.
Although the jeans now that they make, BT.
Yes, they're almost like sweatpants.
Yeah, like the flexible material. Oh, it's a game changer.
Those are good.
That is a game that's stylish.
Yes.
I got to up my game a little bit with the style. You give up. You get married, you give up. What do I care? Like, it's over for me. You know what I'm saying? Go on TV, it's a different story. Like, for your job, it's a different story. Yeah. But, like, in reality, what's the difference what I wear or look like? I'm more like Adam Sandler. Like, he can wear whatever that. Now, I know he's beyond filthy rich, but, like, he wears whatever he wants. He gets away with it because he's Adam Sandler. Well, I wear whatever I want because I don't care, because what are the repercussions? What, my wife's going to be embarrassed? What do I care?
What if she leaves you because of the way you look?
I don't think that would
and
happen.
And then you're left by yourself, and then you got to get it together fast.
That's a,
for
that's
somebody
a,
else.
That's a risk I might be willing to take for the comfort, BT, that I like. No, I mean, if it ever, yeah, you'd hope it wouldn't get to that point. But,
no, of course not. I got you. Oh, man. I have a question for you real fast here.
Yeah.
So we talk about the pressure of how Pete handled the pressure a year ago, or did not handle the pressure,
right.
Probably a better way to say
or
it.
Or the contract weighing
the distraction
over. Yeah, whatever,
and all
right.
That stuff. I don't mean the moment against Milwaukee or the home runs in the postseason where he played very well. I mean in totality, from start to finish. All right, and maybe even the year before because he turned down the big deal, as you mentioned. I got it. But the fear that I have, and I don't want to make too big a deal out of this, but it's possible. He's got to be distracted now. Because no matter, and he's got a few bucks in the bank as it is, he's looking at life-altering, multi-generational changing money that is about to come his way, right? Right or wrong?
Yeah, I mean, I guess. You tell me what that is. Is that $100
million? Oh, dude, if you, honestly,
I really don't
100%.
Know.
Like, if you had $20 million
right.
And you invested it properly, even with, you know, minimal risk, and you're looking to get 7 or 8% back, I don't mean crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
So if somebody gave you today $10 million,
yep.
Could you retire on that and live the rest of your life?
I wouldn't want to retire because I love doing this. You know, I'd probably do some more coaching
well.
But
could you? Could you take care of your family the rest of your life on $10
million? Yeah, okay. Now, I mean, it would really depend on the
lifestyle.
Investments. And then where am I going to live? Would I sell the home that I have now? If I did, what do I get? I mean, there's other variables.
But
I mean,
anyway,
10 is pushing
it. Okay, but 20,
no doubt. No doubt.
So, like, if Alonzo were only make $20 million or just whatever player, make 1 year $20 million, they should be set for the rest of their life.
Yeah, now, I don't know everybody's family structure. I mean, do you have 9 family members on the payroll?
Okay,
if you don't, do you treat yourself to 9 cars? Do you spend lavishly?
And I guess my point,
clearly.
Right, and I guess my point is saying that, is it really life-changing money for a guy who's been making, 20-something million in arbitration for the last couple of years?
Uh-huh.
He's not going to get much more. Like, obviously, Soto's beyond life-changing. But $100 million, $200 million, whatever it may be.
What's the difference at that point?
Well, no, I think that's a lot. I don't know if going from 20 a year for the last several years or whatever it is.
Yeah, but he didn't make 90. That. Understood. I agree with that. But he didn't make that the first couple of years. He was making, you know, minimum. I mean, he'd make $400,000-$600,000, you know, pre-arb. I mean, right. So I know what he made last year as an arbitration guy. But, you know, years before that, it was very, either way. And then half taxes and the agency. What's up,
Bob? You had something off?
What you got?
Yeah, it's pretty big. So remember the other day we talked about Deshaun Watson and the Achilles?
Yep.
Setback, ruptured his Achilles again.
Yeah, I knew it. I could just tell. Okay, gotcha. Jeez.
So when they found that information, they probably knew that but had to go through further testing?
You have to get the imaging. Yeah, I remember I explained the Thompson's test, and even though they know when they squeeze the calf, if there's no reflex.
He ruptured it again?
It's a very, very delicate fusion, if you will. I mean, it's one of the longest tendons in your body.
Does that make you feel like what Rodgers did was even more impressive at his age?
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you what, most people, I don't know the percentage, very few people re-rupture. Now, you might rupture the other Achilles, like, what's the guy's name? What was the Trent Dilfer did that. I believe he had both.
Oh, really?
Okay. I think Larry Bird actually wound up rupturing both Achilles at the end or toward the end. In addition to the back injury, but yeah, like re-rupturing the initial or that's you don't
can they
that
get
very
out?
Much.
Can they get out from that contract now? I mean, I know it was guaranteed, well, but insurance.
I mean, he's gonna have to present, you know, a thorough comeback attempt. That if it's proven that he just physically can't do it, they'll recover most of the money through Lloyd's of London or whatever other insurance policy they have.
And what this should mean definitively, you would think,
quarterback time. Sorry, Giants. Yeah. Yeah, that does change things quite significantly for the Giants. All right. I mean, I'm not stunned because I did think this the other day. Just the way it was presented, it felt pretty ominous, but and, you know, it sucks.
And I would say, BT, and we'll get back to the Alonzo conversation in a little bit, but we just react to this breaking news about Deshaun Watson with the ruptured Achilles again. So if we agree definitively that Cleveland is going to need a quarterback, the only way the Giants will get one, especially after watching Drew Aller last night. Yeah, and now look, with Aller last night, and we could get further into this, and maybe now's the time to do that, BT, I wouldn't react to just one bad game, like, oh, he threw an interception, oh, he can't get drafted. Nonsense. Like, it's one bad game. Now, the advice to stay in school to better himself as a player, to put himself in a position maybe to be the number one pick next year, whatever, I don't know, but I guarantee you if Aller declared eligible for the draft or declared that he was going to enter the draft this year, he would still get selected in the top five, if not the top three, because teams need quarterbacks. They're going to be desperate. They would take a quarterback and have him sit for a year or whatever, get developed. But if you take him out of the equation for a second, it would seem that the only way the Giants are going to get a quarterback would be if Sanders forces his way out of Cleveland.
Yeah, I mean, the Aller performance last night was not good. I still love the kid, but he's just too raw. I needed to see him against defense. I'm not saying I wouldn't, like from a Giants perspective somebody else.
Yeah, no, from a Giants perspective. Or Titans or Browns, if you want to go with any of that.
I don't.
Like Cleveland, maybe the best scenario. Maybe the best scenario for Cleveland is, all right, well, Sanders doesn't want to come, you're fine. If Aller is in the draft, you select him.
I don't know.
You go get a stopgap guy or you have Jameis, whatever, and you let him sit, you know, for a year or two.
Yeah, I mean, that's the team's perspective. What about his perspective? I always try to look at this stuff like, all right, if it's my son, you're going back to Penn State. You're not ready. You know, a wide receiver didn't make not a single catch was made by a Penn State wide receiver last night. Zero.
It was a bad performance.
Zero.
I
don't even want to overreact to the bad interception, which was a bad one. Wide open, middle of the field, you can't do that.
He's trying to make something happen at the end of the game.
No, I get it. Like, I love him. He's very raw. And if you remember, I told you yesterday, he's 20. So if he were to enter the draft, he would be among the younger players in the NFL, like Allen, running back for the Jets, is 20 this year. It's one thing if you're a running back, another thing if you're a quarterback. And the other thing, too, I would be at this point, maybe not stunned, but very surprised if he goes to the draft. Because think about this, Sal. The NIL, I think I read he was making 1.8, if that sounds right, which is low, I think. But he can easily get, I hope he doesn't transfer. It doesn't seem like he will, but $3 more million to stay at Penn State. So
he's not getting paid.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
further your positioning.
Maybe get a more stable franchise at the top. Forget about Tennessee. Forget about the Browns.
Enjoy school for another year.
Enjoy school. You know, physically develop. He's raw. I want to see him again. I mean, the Irish are, I mean, I love their coach, man.
Me too.
I love their, you know what I love about their coach?
They're going to get beat up.
They're probably going to get smacked around. They can't score. I love their, and I understand the question. I think it's also been beaten to death here, pertaining to him, not everybody. They always ask him, about being the first black coach to go this far. And I get it.
What do you mean, to go this far?
Meaning, you know, to win, like, multiple bowl games and...
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Oh, yeah.
Was not even aware of that.
He's been asked about this several times. He was asked about this at the podium with Franklin. And by the way, I can't stand Franklin. I'm so happy that Notre Dame won.
Really?
Do you see his record against top five, top ten teams?
I mean, I think he's all right.
He wins until you play somebody good. Then he always loses. His record is
awful. Well, I mean, the quarterback play last night, you know.
Well, recruit better receivers. Okay. Anyway, they always ask the Notre Dame coach, you know, about race, and he always says, and he's part Asian and part African-American,
okay.
And his answer is just always amazing. It's awesome. He gets it. He's like, yeah, it's great. He said, but, you know, I it's not just about, you know, a black or Asian or white. He's like, I just want the best person who works hard to have a chance to get the job. Like, they're always trying to bring them. ESPN does this all the time. They're always trying to bring race into it. Enough.
Just let him be.
The man's merit is so apparent. He's a rock star.
Yeah.
You know, they're always trying to drag it into that.
You could see his demeanor.
God.
The way he even answers the sideline questions, the demeanor on the sideline, obviously the result of his coaching.
Best. Yeah. By the way, 1-15, I've been told by Hoff. Franklin's record against top five?
Yeah.
1-15.
Where was he? Remind me, where was he before Penn State again?
Vanderbilt. He was at Vandy.
And he built them up and had success with them.
Yeah, he was very desired.
How long has he been at Penn State?
He's been at Penn State a minute. I would have to guess at least 12 years.
You know, watching that game last night.
You're an Irish fan, like 10, 12 years, right? At least.
Since 2014.
Yeah, okay, so 10 years.
Yeah, 10 years.
Watching that game last night, I started to get like the old school feels of my love for college football.
Me too.
Started to come back a little bit. I'm like, man, this is such a great sport, and I do miss it.
Yeah.
Now, it is convoluted with all the teams moving all over the place, the stupid NILs, the transfers, all those different things that you kind of have to ignore. But just pound for pound, watching these kids play the game.
Good atmosphere.
Yeah, the atmospheres are second to none.
That was good atmosphere last night.
Oh, man, Notre Dame being good again.
Notre Dame, Penn State.
And I forgot.
I
forgot that Notre Dame was in the championship game as recently as 2013.
Oh, yeah, that was with
Manti Te'o.
Who was the coach then?
They got squashed by Bama. They got absolutely rocked. Alabama destroyed them.
Who was the head coach then? I remember the days of, you know, Weiss. And
I'm pretty sure it was Brian Kelly at the time. I mean, Charlie Weiss never got anywhere
near.
No, I don't think that was Brian Kelly.
But I'm saying, I don't think that was Kelly. I didn't think it was Kelly.
But they get... Me neither.
It wasn't Winningham. I'm named all sorts of names are flying through my head now.
But they got squashed in that game.
They got
wrecked. It was Brian Kelly.
Brian Kelly was there
12 years. Before him, it was that loser Charlie Weiss.
Hey, come on, Charlie.
I like Charlie Weiss. But I remember those days, that's how far back I would go, where Weiss was taking over Notre Dame and USC, those battles that they would have.
Yeah. For sure. Remember Leinart, the push?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Oh, that was sick.
Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart.
Yeah.
Anyway, BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll come back, get down with the King topic of the day. It is Pete Alonso, and we'll get to your calls as well. I know you've been hanging on. We'll get to you guys. Hang in there. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan.